Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour Message. You know, folks, I always say hour message, but we all know it's only a half hour, and I try to do the best I can to fit in as much as I can. This morning's message is, many are called, few are chosen. As always, folks, I give everybody a chance to get their, get here and get things straightened out. So we're going to play a song. It's about 2 minutes long. It's trust and obey. And as soon as we're done with that, we're going to go to Matthew 22, chapter 22, and I'll read from there. So if you'll bear with us, just wait a little bit. People will be here, and then we'll do prayers, and then we'll get into the message. But here's the song for this morning. Thank you for being here. God bless you. All right, folks, we're going to do the morning prayers before we do the message, because I think it's only proper that we at least mention those that we know that aren't doing well, those that aren't feeling well, and those that need prayer. So this morning I have a list for you folks. Some of the things that came through this past week, we have Barbara Montgomery Norman. She was asking for prayer for her sister-in-law. She was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. Her sister-in-law and her brother say they're saved, but we're not sure if they are or not, so if you'd pray for that as well. And then we have Eric Judd, who's needing prayer for a life situation. We're not sure what that is. That's just the way it came up across, Erica Judd. And then Stacy Ross, her daughter, had surgery here in Maine, and I'm assuming everything is going well. I haven't heard anything back. I was going to go look for it, and I didn't get the chance this morning. My friend Sandy Washer is asking for prayer for Richard P. We've prayed for Richard in the past about his knee surgery, and he's still having problems with it and the pain. So please pray for Richard P. And then Richard R. for strength and overall uplift, and must be going through some tough times and needing some help with the Lord. Brenda for uplifting as well and answers to her pain. And all of those that are fighting their battle with cancer. Sandy's been an advocate for cancer, having lost her husband to it, and has been even before that. So please remember those that have cancer, folks, those that have they're in the hospital or they're suffering or they're going through it, or friends and family. Lord, it's not an easy disease, and it's painful, and the loss of the loved ones that are involved and how it takes toll on the families. Not just on the individual. It takes more than just a toll on people, and then some of their lives as well. But please pray for that, and pray for Sandy. Sandy has a lot going on, and she's got an unspoken request this morning. And Sandy's a dear person. She really is. She's just such a wonderful girl. If you would pray for her. Pray for my daughter's family. They weren't doing well this past week. My little niece went, they did her concert and what have you, but she wasn't able to sing because she wasn't feeling well. So please pray for my little niece, Tasha, and the rest of the family there. Folks, I ask for prayer requests every week for a reason. Because God wants us to praise him. He wants us to look to him for guidance, for strength, for answers, for even the things that we go through. Now, we take things for granted. Like, we may have a cold and not really make a big deal out of it. But if we ask for God's strength, he can heal us. Now, I have one more request, and that's for Cheryl Ann. Cheryl Ann has been in the hospital and had surgery for heart. We've been looking for answers for Cheryl Ann for a while now. Cheryl Ann had this operation, and she seems to be doing good. They're going to take out the breathing tube, I think, on Monday. She's only been able to answer with a little bit of a nod of her head because she doesn't have that much strength. Having had the operation she's had on her heart, she's waited for, oh, gosh, it's got to be more than a year, probably 3 years. But she's had a problem with her heart. She's finally had the operation. We just ask that God would just heal her and lift her up, give her the strength to get through all this. And, Lord, for all the others, I don't want to make it sound like Cheryl Ann's the only important one here or anyone else for that matter. But I'm asking you, Lord, to please take all of these prayers that we ask and lift these people up and give them the strength to get through each day. And for those that are lost, Lord, that haven't accepted you or are on the cusp of accepting you or on the fence, if you will, that today would be the day that they would hear the word and they would understand that you love them. That without your love and without the shed of your blood on the cross, they'll never get to heaven. And they need to know that, and they need to know that they can appreciate that, all that you've done for them. So all we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Folks, I'm going to read from Matthew 22 today. It's a parable that Jesus gave, and I chose it because it goes right along with many are called, few are chosen. And you'll see, it's from verse 1 through 14. I'll read them, and then I'm going to come back. So I want to read all the verses first so you hear them, and then we'll go from there. So in chapter 22 of Matthew, verse 1, it says, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said." Well, see, he was asked a question back when. "And Jesus said unto them, did ye never read the scriptures?" This is in the back, because someone said to him, they say unto him, "He will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out his vineyard unto their husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons." That's going all the way back to the parable of the householder. Now, in this parable, it says it's a parable of the marriage feast. Now, this isn't just an average marriage feast, folks. This isn't like some people sit down, they have a little marriage, maybe out in the backyard or whatever. This was a great gala where the king had invited his special guests. "Jesus answered and spake unto them again by the parables in 22, verse 1, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son." See, the king was planning this marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding or invited to the wedding, and they would not come. Why wouldn't they have come? I mean, these are people that the king knew that he served or served him and were supposedly looked upon as people he, just like you would invite your relatives or invite your loved ones. He cherished those people that much to invite them to his son's wedding. They didn't come, or many of them didn't come. "And sent forth his servants," it said, "and again he sent forth other servants." That means he sent them out again. He said, you know, look, all right, okay, maybe they didn't understand the first time. So he sent them again, saying, "Tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage." He said, look, this thing is planned. This thing is ready. I've slain the best of the best. You're going to have the greatest of food. This isn't just some little gathering. This is an important event. "But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them." You see, for they were so angry, they killed a bunch of them because they didn't come, because they were so busy. They didn't bother to show the respect to the king. But when the king heard thereof, he was mad, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their cities. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were invited or bidden were not worthy. He said, look, they weren't even worthy to come, so let's move along, he said. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, invite them to the marriage, or bid them to the marriage. He said, go out, and I want you to tell everybody out there they're invited. Now, remember, you got to remind yourself of something, folks. Back when, these were Jewish people that were invited. These were people that were believers in God. But obviously, they weren't the believers that the king thought they were. So he said, listen, you know what? I want you to go out, and I want you to invite all those in the street to come. You see, we're all invited. We've been invited to this wedding. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready. That means we got to do this now. Go get them, bring them here. The food is ready. It's going to be no good if we don't get people in here to enjoy this. So those servants went out into the highway and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. That means finally they had a great invite. That means people were there. People were there to enjoy it. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man there which had not on a wedding garment. And folks, we're not talking about a suit. We're not talking about a special dress. We're talking about this person was there, and he shouldn't have been. The king had seen this, and he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And the man was speechless. So was the king. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Father, thank you for letting us have the opportunity to share your gospel from the word. And folks, remember, when I share this word, I share it from the Bible. I don't share it from my heart. I don't take it from some unwritten book or some book that was written by a heathen or by an agnostic or some non-believer. This is the word of God. Father, I thank you for allowing me to share this gospel. Now, folks, I want to tell you, this wedding that Jesus was talking about was us becoming the bride to the groom. This wedding is us being called by God. That means great and small. Remember, I said in there, even the good and the bad were invited. That means even the worst of the worst out in the world were invited by Jesus, by the king, to come to heaven. Today, if you were offered $1 billion, we'll say even smaller than that, even $1 million, $1,000. If somebody said, yeah, I'm going to give you this $1,000, yeah, you'd be curious why. But when you found out there was no strings attached, you'd take the $1,000 and be thankful, right? Look at the people that are taking the gift money, as they call it, you know, the Santa Claus thing where the person goes around, pays off their debt, or gives them $100 or whatever. They're giving this money freely. Well, God's given us a free gift. It was given to us at this wedding, if you will. In the parable said, look, come, and they didn't come. So those that aren't listening, those that have, they have ears, but they won't hear, the Bible says. They refuse. Those are the ones that were called, and those will also be the ones like the guest that didn't have the wedding garment. You see, the wedding garment is us being washed in the blood, the real believers. These are the people that believed in the king, that knew who their king was. They knew that the king wanted them to come, they obeyed, and they did what he said. It's not always about what we want, folks. It's about what our king tells us to do. Our king is Jesus Christ. Our king is God. Now, we should be doing what he says, and what that means is we should be finding someone to hear the gospel from, listening to the word, finding a Bible and reading it, using that Bible to enhance our knowledge and our wisdom of Jesus Christ and all that he asks of us. We've been called. We've been called to the wedding. Now, look, I want to go through a couple of things here because I think it's important. This remnant, back in verse 6, took his servants and killed them. You see, the king sent these servants back to tell him, look, you need to come again. The king wants you there. And they said, listen, we're sick and tired of listening. You go away. And they killed him. So now there's no servants. Well, now the king is so mad that he goes and gets his armies, and he goes after those that killed his servants. Do you realize what that saying is? Those that do not want to hear the gospel, who will harm God's children, God's planning on bringing an army on them. And he's going to take you out because you don't want to hear the gospel. And he is going to take you out, folks. And what's he going to do? Like that one that had no garment. The one that was there who showed up at the wedding. Just like many are going to show up at the end times. They're going to show up when Jesus does come. And they're going to say, oh, here I am. And he's going to say, I didn't know you. And guess where you're going? Cast in the outer darkness. And that outer darkness, as we all know, is hell. You see, God's not fooling around. He gives it to us in a parable because he's trying to get you to do some research and understand what he's talking about. Some would say, well, why not just tell us what he wants from us? Has he not? Has he not shared with you throughout the Bible what he expects from you and you still don't get it? So he says, look, I'm going to give you a parable of a wedding. Here's the plan. The plan is this. Somewhere along the line, we're going to have this great marriage, and my son is going to be there. And I'm going to expect you to come. And you're not going to show up because you're going to be too busy. You're going to be way too busy for me because here's what you're going to be doing. You're going to be chasing your filthy lucre, which is your money. You're going to be too busy doing all the things that you want to do, neglecting me. And I'm going to have asked you to come, and I'm going to have sent my servants, which in today's world is the ministers or the preachers like myself, who have shared the gospel with you and have not only asked you to come, like the servants, we went the first time and we've asked you. We've gone the second time and we've asked you. And we've now, as far as I'm concerned, I continue to ask. And you know what? The first time you didn't listen because, hey, I'm busy. I got things to do. I got to go to work, or I'm busy with my family. The football game's on. I got to go shopping, or Christmas is coming, or whatever your excuse is. There's a billion excuses out there, but there's only one real, truly the answer to all of it. The truth is this. You're neglecting God. You refuse to accept him. And guess what happens in the end? Just like if I were to find you on the side of the road bleeding, dying, and I'm the only one. I'm the only one that can save you. I'm the only one that can call for help. And I say, oh, well, you didn't listen to me in the past. Why should I help you now? And I turn and walk away. That's what's going to happen the day that you turn and look to Jesus and you're asking him to save you and to do something for you, and here's what he says. I didn't know you. I've offered you a blessing. I've offered you God. I've offered you the Word. I've offered to bring you to heaven, to give you the peace for the rest of your, for the whole eternity. Not life only here on this planet. How many of you, when a loved one is sick, expects for us to pray for them? How many of you, when a loved one dies, ask the question, why did they have to die so soon? The answers are in the Bible, folks. And you don't want to hear them. You don't want to know them. You're too busy being yourself. Now, I know there's many of you out there saying, why are you so harsh, Preacher Bill? Why are you putting it like this? Because here's why. Because I care for you so much that I want you to see the truth. I don't want you to be caught up in the lies of this world. You don't have later today. You don't have sometime tomorrow, next week, or 10 years from now. You have right now. I'm preaching to you. I'm sharing the gospel to you. You're hearing the gospel, and you're ignoring it. God's calling you, and you have an opportunity to answer and obey, and you're choosing not to. The truth is right there in front of you, folks. What are you going to do with it? And then it says here, let's look at this verse. It says verse 13. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Is that what you want? Is it that you need to suffer so badly before you can accept the kindness and the love of Jesus Christ and go to heaven. Is that what that's all about? You would rather suffer in your own sins? Would you rather die? Would you rather go? Because let's face it, folks, we know that our body dies. The body dies. But if you're a real believer, if you have any clue whatsoever of spirit, then you know that the spirit goes on. I don't know how many of you have asked this. You've said to me things like, you know, if my family member comes to me and says that when I die, am I going to go to heaven? How do you answer them? I know how I answer them. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, you don't get there. Now, there are some that say they believe in spirits. I have a friend who believes in divination. Okay? When it comes to the Holy Spirit and the truth, they have a different attitude, we'll say. Because, yeah, this person tells me they believe they're going to heaven. They've done what they're supposed to. They've accepted Jesus Christ. They don't exactly live that way. So I have a problem with that. And the day's going to come, they're going to be standing at the wedding party, and the Lord's going to say, I'm sorry, but you don't belong here. That's when they're going to get cast into outer darkness. Look at 14, it says, for many are called, but few are chosen. The chosen part is the ones where Jesus himself chooses to allow them to go to heaven. Because they're believers, because they honestly mean it in their heart. Folks, we're always going to sin. As long as we're in this rotten, filthy body that we've been given, we're going to sin. It's not until the last day when this body is placed in its grave, be it in a grave or we're cremated or whatever they're going to do with your body when you die. When this body has stopped functioning, the brain, the heart, the blood, everything has quit, all the body organs. It's just a body. And then the spirit goes one place or the other. It's either going to heaven or it's going to outer darkness to hell, where the gnawing and gnashing of teeth is going to happen. I've had people say to me, there's really no hell, you know. Hell was this place they threw the bodies in Israel or back there, and they threw them in a pit behind the city called Sheol, right? Then why does the Bible say that you're going to be cast into outer darkness forever with gnawing and gnashing of teeth? If all it is where the bodies are buried or thrown. There is a place that they did that. And believe me when I tell you, there's a place where hell is, or else Satan wouldn't be there. Right now, he's running this world. He's free to run, because that's what God's given him, his time. And the reason that was done is so that you'll decide who's your master. Which one are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the temptations of your life and fulfill the sins that you think about and you desire? Or are you going to turn from them and say, I belong to Jesus Christ. I belong at the wedding. I have the right garment. I've been washed in the blood. Jesus Christ is my Savior. I want to go to heaven. I have a personal note. All God asks is that we have faith, the grain of a mustard seed. It's simple. It's a very simple faith, folks. All it says, my note says this, that we believe in his Son and trust that he died for our sins. He asks, we trust and have faith to believe. We are forgiven because Jesus' blood on the cross is our payment for our sins and sin nature. It's not very hard or difficult to believe. Simple faith is all that's needed. You know, I wrote some other notes. I won't go into them. They're going to take too long. I think I shared exactly what the Lord wanted me to share with you this morning. I just want this part getting out there. And I took this from something I read. What are the main lessons that Jesus has for us in this surprising, unsettling parable? First, it's not a slight thing to refuse the summons of God. Through his messengers, God will hold those who refuse the summons responsible on Judgment Day. Second, Jesus wants us to realize there is a more subtle way to refuse the summons. One may pay lip service. One may say outwardly that they embrace Jesus Christ as it's offered in the call. And even this refusal subjects us to God's just judgment, because all we're doing is doing it outwardly. We're not walking the talk, like I said before. We're not doing what the Lord asked us to do, to live in peace with others, to not go around sharing gossip and beating up on others, pointing our fingers at them because of how they live or how they don't live. Are we sharing the gospel with them is what God asks us to do. Are we doing that work for Jesus Christ? The bad news is we have no power in ourselves, folks, to change our rebellious hearts. Understand what I just said. We don't have that power to change. The good news is God does, and he's pleased to change rebellious hearts by the invincible power of his Spirit. God will come into you through, with the Holy Spirit, work in your life, and change you if you'll let him. And all he asks is that simple faith, the faith the grain of a mustard seed, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to earth as God in the flesh, and then shared the gospel with others, told them what to do in the scriptures. It's infallible, folks. It's been proven over and over. The Bible is the truth. It's a book of history. No matter what anybody tells you, the lies that they tell you, that this book was written by a man, you better believe it was written by a man, because only man could use a pen to put it down. A spirit can't do that. It was put in a book. It was shared with you. They've gone over these words in these books, this Bible, and they found that every bit of it's the truth. Now, you can deny that, and you can go to hell knowing that you're going to believe what you wish and say that it's not the truth or it's only some guy wrote that. Or you can take the truth that's written in this book and believe it by faith and say, I'm going to be at that wedding party. But when he calls, I'm going. And I won't have to be that one that he says, I'm throwing you in the outer darkness. The truth is unsettling, folks, but him alone, God, by his grace alone, and only in Christ, may we find an everlasting, unshakable foundation. You know, folks, this book is written for you to understand, for you to learn, to understand what it means to be a Christian. Do I always live by this book? Absolutely not. You know why? Because the body has two natures, the human nature and the spiritual nature. And my spiritual nature is the one I should be always listening to. Do I? No, I make my foolish mistakes like everybody else. But God knows my heart. He knows that my spirit's willing, my flesh is weak. I may be weak in the flesh, folks, but my spirit is willing. And that's all he asks, is to be willing to be a good Christian, to be willing to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Will you do that today? Will you stop looking to the world and stop looking to the lies that are being told, that Jesus isn't real, that the book is fake? Believe the truth and know the truth. God bless you, and thank you for coming out and listening. I have one last song for you, and please pay attention to those prayers, folks, that I mentioned. Pray for your friends and families. Pray for the lost. Pray for those that don't have Jesus Christ. God bless you again, folks, for being here. Thank you for letting me share with you. Go over to Facebook. Find me at William Preacher Bill Barnes. We can have any kind of conversation you'd like, whether it's after the message or save the name, William Preacher Bill Barnes. Come find me anytime. We'll pray together. I'll share with you. You can share with me. If you got questions, ask them. Our last song for today is Are You Washed in the Blood? All right, folks, have a great day. We'll see you again next Sunday. God bless you. I feel blessed. I got to finish the message on time today.